We've been studying and our focus on grace. Tonight, I'm dealing with offering grace, the offering of grace. Grace equals really God's commands, where God commands us. We don't just receive it, but we pass it on. Meaning, God says, I'm giving you grace, and I expect you to have grace on others around you. Now, the grace that we've received for eternal life is the type of grace that works in any situation, every day, every second of the day. You and I are saved by grace. We will be kept by grace. We will leave this earth to be with Christ by grace. It is a gift from God. Matthew 10:8. Give as freely as you have received. Oh, that's difficult for some. Giving freely as much as you've received. Everything God has done for me in my life, everything in my life is a gift from God, including the people. And the people that I would call friends and the people that would call me their enemy. I've learned over the years, I appreciate both. It's the idea of, you know, what are you going to do if you have a personal enemy of yours and he dies? And, you know, it's the enemies that keep me on my toes. It is the us knowing that Jesus warned us as Christians to beware of Satan and his slippery tricks. So let's go. I got a forgiveness quiz here for you. And it's true or false. A person should not be forgiven until he asks for it. Forgiving includes minimizing the offense and the pain caused. Forgiveness includes restoring trust and reuniting a relationship. You haven't really forgiven until you've forgotten the offense. When I see someone hurt, it is my duty to forgive the offender. Why are we so quiet on that one?
Because we don't know how
to answer it, right? Okay, the answer to all of them is false. Every one of them is false. But now we'll look at why it's every one of those is false. Because if you look at it and just take it, well, that sounds like something a Christian ought to do. One thing about the Lord and what he has given us is what very few understand anymore is called common sense. Common Christian sense. Use your common sense. You know, somebody, the guy that stabbed me. Now, I would be foolish to get in that situation and say, well, you know, I forgive you. Here's my back again. Go ahead. Do it a couple of more times. That ain't going to happen. I remember Dr. Langley doing the same thing because he was stabbed in the parking lot going to his car. What forgiveness is not? Let's look at it. What forgiveness is not? Number one, forgiveness is not conditional. You can't say, okay, if you won't do this anymore, I'll be your friend. For one thing, I'm going to do it again. I'm a human being. I'm going to slip up, right? Okay, so forgiveness is not conditional. Let's listen to this. The Bible says, genuine forgiveness is unconditional. When Jesus forgave me through grace, it's an unconditioned forgiveness. It is not something you earn. How many people do you know that people of faith that believe, well, I got to do this good work and do that good work? I see it and hear it all the time. What we do is the good works has nothing to do with our salvation. The good that we do is a result of our born-again nature. It is not something you deserve. Boy, that's a fact. Every one of us look in our own life. We understand I didn't earn it and I sure didn't deserve it. It is not something you buy or bargain for. Lord, if you'll get me out of this, and I promise you. Now, I need this help here, Lord, and I need to have, and let me make a deal with you. Don't try that, folks, please. It is unconditional. When you tell the person, I will forgive you if, that's not forgiveness, folks. Father, Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The if could not be a part of our life as a Christian. I will forgive you if you'll do this or if you will do that. No, doesn't work that way. What forgiveness is not, number two, forgiveness is not minimizing the seriousness of the offense. Forgiveness is not saying it's no big deal. It really didn't hurt. Don't worry about it. I've heard this many times. The truth is, if it's worth forgiving, it did hurt, right? Forgiveness is saying it did hurt. It did cause pain, but I'm not going to hold it against you. There's a difference between being wounded, though, and being wronged. Now listen to this part. Wounds equal, they are unintentional. You can get wounded by somebody's sharp remarks, but it's an unintentional wound. You'll see this with every husband and wife. And it's not intended to cause that wound, but you say the wrong thing at the wrong time, and it hurts. When wounds are unintentional, we are to give acceptance. Okay, I realize that you did not mean what you just said. Now, when they start saying, I meant every word of it. Now, get in there and wash the dishes, please. Okay. Wrongs, here's the difference between being wounded and being wronged. Wrongs are intentional, where somebody sets up and decides to do harm to you. Whatever you do, don't minimize it. You cannot minimize the wrongs. Whenever you minimize a wrong and say it's no big deal, you cheapen forgiveness. Reserve forgiveness for the serious things. Forgiveness from our part is very difficult. And the only way that we are able to come across with any form of forgiveness is when the grace that God has given us wakes us up and says, now, have you done things that bad yourself? Would you not want forgiveness? Number four, forgiveness is not forgetting. If y'all notice, this goes all the way back to the test I gave you at the beginning, right? Forgiveness is not forgetting what happened. When it causes great pain, you can't forget it. Oh, you know, it didn't matter. I really didn't need that left arm because I'm right-handed. Now listen, folks. Whether it's a woman or whether it's a man, if there's beating going on, if there's stuff that's going on that causes that not just a physical harm, but also the emotional harm, it is not resuming that relationship without changes. I mean, you can say, okay, I forgive you, and as soon as you say I forgive you, they knock you upside the head again. Well, you want to forgive that one too. Forgiveness is not the same thing as reconciliation. Forgiveness is not the same thing as rebuilding or restoring relationships. Forgiveness is instant. That's your part. Not easy, huh? But that's our part. Now listen, though. But trust has to be rebuilt over time. There's a big difference between forgiving a person and trusting a person. Right? You forgive your children when they do the dumb things. You forgive your friends. But it doesn't mean you're going to trust them with anything. On their part, it takes three things. Repentance equals demonstration or demonstrated that they've changed. The restitution is where and when possible. If it's money, you make restitution, pay restitution. If you cut a guy's arm off out of anger, restitution cannot be made there, correct? I don't know, they got some pretty fancy, yeah. Rebuilding trust takes time, folks. Forgiveness is based on grace. Trust is earned. Big difference. As a Christian, you must forgive offenses, but you are not obligated to instantly trust them and act like everything's fine. You won't help them that way. We want to do everything for our children. We want to make sure that they've got everything that that they want. Well, that's us grandparents. We want to with the grandkids and all. But we have to remember something, folks. You cannot, if somebody is offending you like that, and I'm talking about many different ways. Doesn't have to be the stabbings, no. But I'm talking about in any way that an offense is given against you, and you can tell that they realize they got you, you've forgiven them, and they keep doing it and doing it and doing it. Sad. Okay, forgiveness is not forgetting. Did I go over that one, didn't I? What happened? When it causes great pain, you can't forget it, right? Whoever said you're going to forget things anyway? It bothers me when anybody, other Christian, will say, "That's okay. I know you have lost your best friend, your husband, your wife, or you have lost your best friend, but time will heal that emptiness in you." No, it doesn't. God gives us grace to the point to where we deal with that. It does not say forget it. I've read nowhere in Scripture where I'm told to forget. I am told to control myself, and I'm told to love, and I'm told to deal with a situation from a godly standpoint if I'm given the opportunity to do it. Right? Okay. It is impossible to try to forget something. You go along with that? When you're trying to forget it, it's obvious you can't forget it because you're remembering. And then it comes back and you think, well, I'm going to forget that. Going to forget what? It happened 20 years ago. And I'm, okay. No, you're not. You're not going to forget it. I remember, but I don't feel the pain anymore. That's it. Number five, forgiveness. Now, y'all listen to this in big. Forgiveness is not my right when I wasn't the one who was hurt. Great mistake. I hear people saying, look, okay, like in a murder situation, and Louisville's loaded with them, your murder situations, and I listen to a lot of the Christian moms or the families say, I forgive him for murdering my son. I forgive him. Forgiveness is not my right. I do not have the right to forgive someone who did not cause the offense to me. Only the victim can pronounce forgiveness. Oh, okay, I'm going to forgive you for what you did to whoever, good friend of mine. Did they offend you? Was it committed against you? No. Well, it's pretty easy for you to say, I forgive him then, right? But you don't have a right to do that. You do not have a right. None of us as Christians have the right to take responsibility on ourselves to say, I forgive you, when the people, the victims, are over here wallowing in their hurt and in the distress, and you give the perpetrator of the hurt, you give him, I sound like a cop again, okay, but you give them, okay, whew, I'm glad to hear that I have forgiveness from the family. You don't. You had forgiveness for somebody that knew the family or somebody's part of, but that person who forgave you, you didn't do anything to them. Okay. I remember this was a few years back, though. Recently in Washington, D.C., a leader held up a picture of Timothy McVeigh. Remember that, the bomber? And said, I have forgiven this man and you need to too. The only problem was he didn't have the right to do that. Forgiveness does not remove the consequences of sin. I did not have anyone who was victim of that bombing. So how can I say I've got to forgive the man who did it? It really gave him a way out. You can't do that. You can pray for them that to find the Lord before they die because they're going to be in a mess. But you can't give forgiveness for something that did not happen to you. Okay, what is genuine forgiveness? You ready? The Bible says that forgiveness is four things. Here they are. Number one, remembering how much I've already been forgiven. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Okay, I want you to look at that Ephesians again, and I want you to listen to me on what I'm going to tell you. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Who's he speaking to? The Christian church at Ephesus. He's not out in the community. He's talking to the Christians. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So we know he's speaking to Christians, and therefore we are to be compassionate in the forgiveness. Number two, relinquishing my right to get even. Romans 12:19, never avenge yourselves, leave that to God. For he has said that he will repay those who deserve it. You know, I've noticed something in life when I would be angry or any kind of a deal that comes up, and you think, okay, how can I get back at them? And then I've always heard that a still, quiet voice, and sometimes the Lord yells at me and lets me know and reminds me of how much I've been forgiven, and it says, let me straighten it out, Larry. You know what I know's coming next? Because this happened to you, but you brought it on yourself. So I'm going to let the Lord do the handling of that anymore. When you're holding on to a hurt, you're only hurting yourself. You agree with that one? Yeah. You can't change how other people treat you. But if you keep thinking about it all the time, holding on to it, then we got a problem. Right? Okay, number three. Responding to evil with good. Now, difficult, almost impossible, folks. We're dealing with the human nature. But responding to the evil with good, Luke 6:27-28. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. Oh, my word, folks. Now, this is what we're supposed to do. But you know, doing good to people those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you, that is not the first thing that comes to my mind. Yeah, and that's what the Lord says. He said, as a matter of fact, when you're kind to them, it is like heaping great... bowls of fire on your head. You know where that came from? You know why it was used that way? Many times in the Hebrews, when they would build a village, the Jews, then they had fire. Well, if a neighbor needed, their fire went out, they could go to another neighbor and they would dump the ashes, the hot ashes, so they could start the other fire. So when Jesus is reminding them of this, he's saying it's just like they missed a bucket and put it on your head. It's what you're doing to them, or you're putting on their head, because you turned it over to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 13, number 3, responding to evil with good. Luke 6:27-28, do good to those, hurt people. Got it? Hurt people. We hurt other people because we're hurting ourselves. 1 Corinthians 13:5. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Well, at that time, our statement is, well, Lord, I don't want to love them right now. And then you get to the ones who are really evil, and God is saying, I want you to go over and share my son with them. Lord, what if you save them and I got to live with them in eternity forever? Now, that's the human mind. We just don't talk about it. My wife, oh yeah, my wife got historical. His friend said, don't you mean hysterical? No, historical. She told me everything I've ever done wrong.
Whew. That's not in 1 Corinthians.
No, that's a little addition there. Number four, repeating the process as long as necessary. Keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. Matthew 18, 21, 22, Peter asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, Jesus replied, 70 times 7. The point is, for infinity, for as long as it takes, until you let it go. You have to keep forgiving that person until the pain stops and the desire to get revenge goes away. The empty chair that I have there, that was a technique that I used as in counseling for the victims of crimes and their family, wanting them to talk, and I would set an empty chair there, and I want you to tell that chair about the hurt and the pain that is within your life. Folks, you have no idea how much that worked and how many that helped. Okay, here's the last page. Why offer grace to others? Number one, because God is gracious to me. Folks, the sad thing is Christians are professing Christians, and I mean Christians, true Christians, we are horrible so often about being compassionate to other people, especially if we're angry with them. Well, you know, you broke your leg. If I had been in charge, you'd broke both of them. You know, that, and kind of, God is gracious to me. Number two, the alternative to offering grace is bitterness. Hebrews 12:15, be careful that none of you fails to respond to the grace which God gives. For if he does, there can very easily spring up in him a bitter spirit, which is not only bad in itself, but can also poison the lives of many others. Folks, bitter people make bitter people. If you're that bitter with whatever it is, you need to deal with it. Get that empty chair, but whatever you do, do not pull other people that love you or around you. Don't pull them into that. That is a battle that you must offer to Christ in a lot of prayer and say, Lord, help me. Now, doesn't mean that you're going to have the relationship with them again. You got to have. We have to use some spiritual common sense. You can forgive folk, but it doesn't mean that you can forget. Remember, also, it doesn't mean that you're going to be foolish enough to go back into the lion's den. Number three, God expects me to do it, to offer grace. Oh, think of this: when you offer grace, and those individuals or that individual then rejects the grace, you are no longer obligated. What you deal with then is yourself, offering up to the Lord, I've offered a gracious hand. I've said, you know, I want to work this out, but they do not want to work anything out, and they're not offering a gracious hand. You cannot spend your life, folks, trying to make people either like you or trying to make people change. You cannot make someone change anything. If the Holy Spirit didn't do it, how did we think we can do it? Oh, and remember this, in forgiveness, even God does not forgive until we repent. The Word of God calls for the human race to repent. Even God won't forgive until we repent. That's what Christ's whole message is, the good news. Repent, turn, and for salvation in Christ. Okay, number three again. God expects me to do it. Matthew 6:15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. The reason you have to deal in the forgiveness part, the forgiveness again, remember, you all take this home and read it. Remember again, the hurt's still there. The forgiveness part is meaning you refuse to allow the hurt caused by that individual to destroy the rest of your life. You've got to get that peace in your heart, and you can only do that with the forgiveness.